everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of the Giant Bombcast. It is myself, Ryan Davis, and Brad Shoemaker beside me.
Hello.
And we are joined by the BioWare doctors,
Dr. Hello.
Greg and Dr. Ray.
Hey.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Now, you're here in San Francisco for the Game Developers Conference. How has the show been for you so far?
It's been good. We've been doing a lot of interviews and talking about Dragon Age a lot, actually. It's been one of the things we've come down for is to show off the game and show off a demo of it and kind of get people more excited about what the awesome work our team's doing.
Now, for folks who haven't heard too much about Dragon Age yet, can you just give us a broad overview of what makes this different from other BioWare projects from the recent past?
Well, I think one way to describe Dragon Age Origins is, in some ways, it's a return to our roots. BioWare made its name in games like Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter Nights, and this game is our return to fantasy. We haven't made a fantasy game for quite a while, and this one we created ourselves. And in doing so, we created what we call dark heroic fantasy. There's the high fantasy of Tolkien and the classic, as we described, elves sashaying across the countryside, and then the low fantasy, the very brutal and harsh world of someone like George R. R. Martin. We have something in the middle where you have the classic fantasy elements, but the world itself is, again, very gritty and very harsh. And the game itself is exciting because it's sort of a combination of, and it was because we call it the spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate, a lot of the Baldur's Gate mechanics, but we add in and fold in things we did like with games like Mass Effect and the great cinematic dialogue and all those things. And so the big picture is it's really a chance for fans of our old games like Baldur's Gate to check out essentially a really strong next gen version of that on PC, 360, and PS3, but also for new fans that haven't seen, just an epic fantasy game like this, to get a chance to try it out and enjoy it, I think.
Now, how do you feel kind of the development process of something like this, that's something that kind of goes back more to your roots, differs from a little more the accessible fare that you guys have been working with stuff like Mass Effect?
Well, we're always striving to make our games really accessible and deep and rich at the same time. So in many ways, the development is similar between all of our games. Just the neat thing is we have a very diverse portfolio. Dragon Age, as Greg said, is dark heroic fantasy. Mass Effect is more of a hard-edge science fiction. And we have Star Wars The Old Republic, an MMO that's set in the Star Wars universe. And we have some super secret unannounced stuff as well that we're not quite ready to talk about, but it's cool. It's different from all those things. And I think the development methodologies, we always try and make great tools. We always have characters, it starts with a world ideation and characters in that world and kind of what the characters would do based on the crucible that we've created and, sort of that forges their journey as a hero or heroes within that, the IP setting or the genre that we've created. Dragon Age has a very interesting and cool setting. So does Mass Effect, and very differentiated from a lot of other things that are out there. One of the things we're doing that's neat is we've planned to release the tool set for Dragon Age to our fans. So we're really seeing Dragon Age Origins as the launch of a platform for BioWare, where we're going to continue to support it post-release long-term by releasing premium downloadable content for our fans to purchase and enjoy and expand the possibility space of the universe. And where they're also going to be able to create content and share that amongst the community. And we have a gallery for browsing it. It's integrated with the game. Makes it really easy and cool to enable fans to get the great content either from us or from each other. And we're already starting that beta program for tools.
Well, that extensibility is something that's very much carried over from the old games, right? I mean, that was in the spirit of your early stuff,
We did it with Neverwinter Nights, right? And we had great success there.
Exactly.
We learned a lot of cool things, and we're trying it again. This time we're making the tool set even more powerful and enabling the creators, the players, to become co-creators of the experience with us in the journey.
Now, talking about Dragon Age more generally, it's definitely become really kind of fashionable, I think, to create your first game as kind of like you're planting the seeds for a larger franchise or intellectual property, whatever you want to call it. How did you approach the creation of this? Did you think like core game first and think, well, we kind of did the ambitions get larger and you start thinking, well, we can really start telling this on a larger scale across multiple games? Or was it originally like, we need to create an IP and then this will be the first game in that series?
We tend to think of the world first, okay. And so from the world, you know, once you, you know, really put the corners on, like, it's, and then when I mean world, I mean like the history, the places, the people, and out of that fall the characters and the story. And I think once you've got that platform to work from, you can jump into like, hey, let's do a comic book about the world of Dragon Age. I mean, you know, there's a novel. I mean, Dave Gator, the lead writer of the game, wrote a novel now published. I mean, we wrote novels for Mass Effect that were very, very successful.
And then the novel's great, too. The Stolen Throne is fun read. Page Turner, I think it's like great fantasy just in its own right, let alone as a prequel to the game that gives you a lot of insight in the motivations and the background of the characters in the world, and just making it even more sense and making it that much more cool. It's awesome.
I'll never say, like, it's never easy to write a book, but it's easier when you've got this, you know, great wealth of backstory and world to work from. So, you know, David was able to take that, I mean, because he's, you know, had a good part in creating it, and actually build on it. And this is what's cool about it. If we decide to extend these and have the opportunity to, you know, get into TV, film, comics, you know, figurines, whatever, all these things, like, which we'd love to do. And I think, you know, if we can do that and do it in a really high quality way, that's we pursue it. But, you know, the big thing being working from a great base of information. And because I think a lot of people will take a big game and go, hey, that big game could be a great movie. And you're like, well, what would it really be about? Because, I mean, there's the actual view of the world is so narrow. There's nothing beyond the game. And what we do is we start, like I said, from this very, I mean, often takes a year or more to build the world, and then everything falls out of that.
Hmm. Actually, yeah, I found the first Mass Effect novel was extremely effective in just getting me excited to get into that world, you know. I mean, I read the book and I thought, man, I can't wait to see the Spectres in action. I can't wait to see what Batarians look like. You know, like it was a really good tool for just establishing this kind of background fiction before you actually got into the game.
Yeah, cool.
I think one just super quick point on that. What's really cool about that is those aren't some third party novelists that we go, hey, we got this thing and throw in a stack of paper. Each of those cases, as the lead writer of the game who works at BioWare, wrote the novel, and they were good novels. I mean, Drew Karpyshyn, the guy who wrote the Mass Effect novels, got, I don't know how, he's got New York Times bestsellers under his belt. Like, it's these are like accomplished writers, and that whole thing ties together in the games that we create.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about creating the world for Dragon Age. Obviously, you guys have worked with other people's IPs in the past quite successfully. Mm-hmm. How does that process on the kind of the actual game creation, like the game design level, kind of inform what the game is going to be like?
Well, it's definitely an investment, and you know, you have to make certain decisions that are hard decisions and really constrain, but also fuel creativity at the same time, because they define what's the possibility space for the gameplay and the characters and behaviors and interactions. They really fuel a lot of creativity for our teams within that space. But we spend a lot of time up front and throughout the course of the development on building those worlds and just investing with designers, artists, animators, doing concept art and kind of reworking, iterating, and spending a lot of time just defining the motivations of the political parties that might be involved behind the scenes. And none of this necessarily surfaces to the player in a direct way, but it's almost like an iceberg where, you know, 6/7 or whatever the percentage is below the water. It has weight. It has gravity. It has, you know, a sort of this intangible value that the stuff that's above the surface, which the player sees, feels that much more real and credible because it's connected to something that has so much weight and gravity below. And, you know, that's the essence of how we approach our world creation. Is we invest in them up front. We really build things that have sort of this continuity and timeline. And it reminds me of this story where, you know, Peter Jackson, when he was creating the Lord of the Rings movies, built out a timeline, a continuum from sort of filled an entire room with paper, kind of like filling all the walls up, and they drew this little slice that shows here's where the movies fall, and then he expanded that out to show the motivations and behaviors of all the characters and all the things that happened during the course of the movie. But it was influenced and really made that much more real and tangible by the fact that, you know, there's this world and universe that Tolkien had defined before and afterwards that, you know, Peter Jackson built out them and fleshed out, you know, his interpretation of it. We do the same kinds of things for our games, and that allows us to actually develop ancillary products and books and the future, maybe things like movies and television shows and kind of spin off other ideas that, as long as they're done at high quality and they're true to the vision and maintain the integrity of the IP, we'd be excited to participate in those. But our IPs afford that.
Now, how close do you guys actually get to be to the creative process at this point now that, you know, you're BioWare is part of the, you know, the Electronic Arts family of companies now. I mean, you've got all these projects going on. You're expanding across, you know, multiple studios in different cities. Are you guys like, you know, just managing stuff at this point? Do you still get to kind of assert?
We get to play our games. Yeah. I mean, that's actually probably the, you know, honestly one of the coolest things. It's great to have that chance to play and provide input, and a lot of it's testing. I mean, we see ourselves as you know one of the various folks that play and test our games. It's very important to play before you launch, obviously, and you gotta know what's in there. And I think there's a whole phase that we like to add in, which is almost like an editing or refining phase where we iterate and look at all the content and go, is this as good as it can be? Is it all make sense? Does the story flow right? I mean, the mechanics good? A lot of times we spend a lot of time ourselves also working with the teams. I mean, I think the great thing is with these, you know, now have a lot of really great teams and good leaders within the company. And, you know, we're still involved early in projects and late in projects, but we have great people that are running them basically. And now we get to work on with those people to help make sure they're as good as they can be and the whole company's functioning well. And, you know, up into EA and back down to BioWare, a lot of different things. It's fun to have that variety, but we still get to play and have that we think, you know, really valuable input before we actually launch them.
Cool. Now you've got three, you know, pretty significant projects that we even know about right now between Dragon Age, Old Republic, and Mass Effect 2. How do you manage kind of like shifting gears between these three fairly distinct kind of fantasy properties, just mentally, of like, you know, what those represent?
Yeah, well, it's a challenge, of course, to have, you know, so many great properties to work on, but it's huge opportunity as well, because we have a really nice diversified portfolio, so it provides our staff an opportunity to work on some really cool things that are quite different from each other. And our audience of fans, of course, get a chance to play some different games as well, as we kind of mix it up, going from fantasy to sci-fi to some other stuff. And looking back how we've built the infrastructure at BioWare to enable that, our structures, it's been around for, we've been around incorporated since 95, and I think we were pretty early after that, we were a two-project studio. We did Shattered Steel and Baldur's Gate started up midway through that, and then soon later, Neverwinter Nights started. So, you know, we were doing three projects back in 98, 99, so, and now we're doing...
That was the last century, just...
Oh, the 20th.
Back in the 20th, we were making multiple projects.
Yeah, we've been doing this a couple centuries now, that's right.
It does feel that way sometimes.
But other times, it feels like, you know, it's like it was yesterday, you know, because it was pretty recent. But one of the great things as well is we've had continuity of our people and our teams, and the organizational learning is, we've been able to maintain that continuity of knowledge so that our APs and our design leads and the lead writers and the lead artists and animators, programmers, QA and so on across the board are amazing. Like they have experience too, building the kinds of games that BioWare is known for.
Well, you may want to call out some of the guys. I mean, some of the people around these projects are like, you know, very specifically like best of the business from our perspective, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, like Casey Hudson, you know, on Mass Effect, Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, good pedigree. and I mean, Dan Tudge running Dragon Age Origins, maybe not as well known, but done great stuff at BioWare. But also had his own company for a while and did a lot of stuff. And then finally, Rich Vogel and Gordon Walton, two literally luminaries of the MMO space, run our Austin studio and run that project. So it's like
Trent Oster, another one of our EPs, was EP on Neverwinter Nights.
They're running something mysterious,
something secret and mysterious, but very cool right now. We have can keep going because we have the depth of talent we have at BioWare is. It's unparalleled, and the people have been around a long time in the industry, in many cases working on BioWare games, and you know they're passionate, they're hardworking, they're creative, they're smart, they really care about the outcome and the quality.
Yeah,
and
we rely on them, right? Like that's actually one of the cool things is we can, hey, you know, that's their sort of ship to run, and we're there to help them. We're almost like an advisors and coaches. And it's actually a fun place to be.
Yeah.
So it sounds like from what you guys are talking about, BioWare has become an empire in and of itself.
The evil empire, actually. We haven't talked about the other projects in the base.
That's why you have the goatee.
It's the good empire. It's the good empire.
Oh, yeah, Grail qualified that.
Yeah. We're not supposed to talk about the evil
empire. Okay,
it's the good empire. The secret one.
No, it's always been focused on.
I can't contain it sometimes.
It's the shadow empire.
It's always been oriented around our core values. Yeah, and that's the thing that hasn't changed over the years. Our core values of quality in our products, quality in our workplace, entrepreneurship. You know, those are things that we care about. We care about our employees. We care about our customers. We care about our investors. We're investors. Our employees are investors, the shareholders in the company. So we want to do the right thing, not for just one of those stakeholder groups, but for all of them. We think that's a sustainable business model. And, you know, we have expanded for sure. We've got more projects and I mean, we're blessed now to be part of a big public company that, you know, we're actually a publisher as well. We get to have more direct-to-consumer interactions in the marketing front, the sales front, as well as the development front. So these are cool opportunities. We have three locations now. We're in Montreal, we're in Austin, we're in Edmonton. You know, and we've grown a lot, but our core values are the same, and they're always grounded around the core principle of quality. We never want to make anything that we're not proud of ourselves, that we haven't played ourselves, that we don't feel is like really advancing the art of video games and innovating and kind of taking it another level better than what we've done before. And the reason why we can do that is because those the people Greg mentioned and many, many more.
Yeah, their teams are just...
You know, their teams are, yeah. They have that same passion.
What are the relationships like between the different studios? It sounds like there's a fair amount of autonomy, but is there any kind of interdependence as far as resources go?
Oh, yeah.
They work together. They do teleconferencing and kind of working remotely on one another's projects. We all play each other's games. You know, like the studios basically report into to Edmonton, but, you know, we have really strong leaders in Austin, Montreal, Edmonton, and I think it's really see ourselves as a studio family, you know, within the EA organization. So we're a division of EA.
Well, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, like Edmonton and Austin have each have people in each other's office working on projects from the other studio, and like Ray said, there's like, you know, we're teleconferencing, and Montreal's pretty new, so but they're working on some of the Edmonton stuff, and we just have to draw the line between them and Austin will be set. Everyone will be working on each other's stuff. We haven't done that yet. I mean who knows whether it'll happen, but it's, I think the thing is, we have actually had, you know, also between the projects, a healthy kind of competition. I think we don't specifically try and foster any kind of, like, you know, battles of any sort. It's really about folks that are, you know, trying to do similar things. I think that's what's also interesting, is we're quite happy with the teams also pursuing different goals and actually trying to accomplish different things with their games. It gives them more diversity. I mean, obviously, you know, the Dragon Age Origins is a very different game than the Mass Effect 1, and obviously Mass Effect 2 will be different again. They have different goals, but they're also still trying to solve that same goal of story and also emotional engagement. They're using different tools and techniques to get to almost a similar endpoint. And we encourage that, and then encourage the sharing between all those groups, so they're all trading knowledge. Because I think, you know, because all our games have those common threads running through them, it's really great when the writers on one game can review another one's story and give them feedback. And, you know, it's a really good virtuous kind of circle.
Sure, technology as well, technology, yep. Tools, design principles. People move back and forth on various times. You have a matrix structure, so people move back. You know, some people have transferred down from Edmonton to Austin, and even vice versa, and certainly Edmonton to Montreal. So, you know, a lot of knowledge transfer and a lot of continuity of just, you know, the passion and the vision for what we're building.
So second place isn't a set of steak knives, then? not running it like that.
No.
Everybody
gets a cup of coffee.
But no Cadillacs. Are there any projects that are being based and conceived primarily in Montreal yet, or is that more of like a support studio at this point?
Basically, it's a very important part of the BioWare family. It's working on a portion of Mass Effect 2. Hmm. And, the bulk of the team is in Edmonton, and there's a very important group that's working in Montreal as well. And they're all part of the same team, sort of a virtual team in some ways, okay. Working in a couple locations.
Yeah, over time, we'll see how that matures and changes. But right now, it's a sort of a happy offshoot of the Mass Effect stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now, beautiful city.
To talk about Austin a little bit, now they're working on Old Republic. Now, you guys obviously... long line of success with RPGs, and you know some of the most successful Star Wars games, arguably. But the MMO aspect of it, that's kind of new for you guys. How has that part of the process been for you?
It's been great. What we're trying to do is we're taking the best of breed features of existing MMOs, and we have a lot of respect for the great MMOs to date and our competitors, and we're building on those features, the exploration, the customization, progression, and the combat, conflict. But we're adding something, a new way to look at story. So it's not that MMOs haven't had story before, but we're taking a new approach to it in MMOs. We're actually adding that BioWare flavor to the story and characters and the way the story unfolds. You have a journey, your own heroic journey, that it makes you feel like you're grounded in the Star Wars universe in this case. And the way we built the team up really enables us to take that knowledge from the MMO space and combine it with the BioWare approach to storylines and building role-playing games and the focus on quality. And we've got some great leadership down in Austin with Gord Walton, Rich Vogel, our co-studio VPs, and James Olen is the creative director. So that was sort of the core team that started the studio out. And James was originally on BioWare projects, working on a whole bunch of things, Baldur's Gate, Knights of the Old Republic.
As lead designer of all those things.
Yeah, and going back way
old
back.
Old school,
good stuff. And a lot of other people that have joined the team from Edmonton have that same BioWare Edmonton experience. And, you know, BioWare Austin now is very much, it feels just like Edmonton in many ways when you go down there culturally and the layout of the office. And
except warmer in winter.
It is warmer in winter, but it's hot in summer.
Yes,
so it's kind of
trade-offs.
Good barbecue, though.
Yeah.
Good barbecue, yeah. And good Texas hospitality as well. Yeah.
So you guys just operate out of there in the winter and then come back?
That's our scheme, actually. We have the scheme of
our visit frequency increases in the winter. Yeah.
But also the other cool thing about Austin, too, is, I mean, obviously there's a huge wealth of MMO talent and people that have the technology experience. And I think that's a lot of the folks that have joined from the Austin scene are, you know, very, very experienced developers.
Very talented.
People that have done it before, so it's exciting to have them part of the mix because, you know, I think certainly with MMOs, they're clearly one of the most frightening kind of games you can work on just the sheer size. I mean, you know, we work on big games, but MMOs are on a whole different scale. And I think there's also a lot of unique technical challenges that are, you know, you just don't have to deal with on a standard release. And finally, the concept of service after the launch is like the whole idea of, like, you don't just like take the game, put it on the shelf, and I'll take a holiday. Like, that's actually when it really starts getting going. The moment it's out and everyone's trying to, all those fine fans try and break it for you. You got to really get to work. And
that's
so
when the game begins.
Yeah.
So what's what is the dynamic like on the Old Republic specifically between, you know, there's BioWare, there's Electronic Arts, and there's LucasArts. You know, what in terms of decision making, design influence, that kind of thing. You know, what's the kind of working dynamic there?
Well, BioWare is Electronic Arts, so we're a division of EA.
Right, right.
You know, basically the design, the development, and all the decisions on the project occur within BioWare Austin and the BioWare family. And but we're EA at the same time, so, you know, we're all one and the same, really. Hasn't changed how we operate, really.
Right.
I mean, if anything, just given us more capabilities, more partners, more knowledge, and more cool things we can get to do. And LucasArts is a great partner. They know the Star Wars space, know the audience really well, and, you know, it's very much a collaboration between us and Lucas, I think, in terms of how we approach things. We meet with them really very, very frequently,
a lot.
Fly down to San Fran.
We think they're there for the barbecue.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been a good partnership, and the commitment to quality is there on both sides.
Cool. I'd like to actually take this a little bit further back. You're talking a little bit about the original Baldur's Gate. I think a lot of people don't really know, like, you know, they might know BioWare from Mass Effect or from Knights of the Old Republic, but maybe don't know, like, kind of the original story of how BioWare got started. And, like, you know, what the roots were.
The super old
school?
What
is it? I want to know.
Share
this with us.
I mean, I know that I see, you know, you're both doctors, but I see MDs on both of the cars.
Really?
And I know, like, little snippets about it, you know, how it kind of got started. But if I'd love to hear it from the source.
Okay.
Like, what your idea of, like, what... How did this begin? How did you end up in this room talking to us?
What's the BioWare origin
story? I don't want
story?
The whole thing.
The origin story?
Like, what,
what's, you know, the entry
you're trying
point
to reveal our secret identities?
Like, when did you build C-3PO? Like, what? Like, I want to know that kind of kernel of the start of this.
Well, I mean, we're basically country GPs originally, I guess. You know,
you're a country GP. I'm a hipster. Urban GT.
Country GP, trained.
You're Doc Hollywood.
Trained as a family doc. I worked in small towns doing emerge medicine. You know, I graduated in '92. We're both.
Don't reveal how old we are. That's one thing we keep a carefully guarded secret.
We met in med school.
We'll cut that out. Don't worry about it.
We're friends because, you know, we had a passion for video games. You know, we liked medicine a lot, but we love video games. So, you know, we were always cutting class to talk about video games, play video games, and eventually make video games. So, but, you know, we liked medicine. I practiced until about 2001. But it would kind of overlap with BioWare because BioWare incorporated in 95. We were doing some stuff in 93, 94, 92.
Last century.
Yeah, last century. Yeah. it's just stuff, but 99.
Well, sort of started in our basement, my basement too, like in the sense that, you know, we kind of had these crazy dreams of making a video game company. And where it actually kind of started was some, you know, we were in medical school and some of the medical education tools and online sort of instructional stuff was terrible, like terrible. Like we were playing games that were like 10 times better, and we were, hey, we can make better stuff than that. And we actually did with some help from some other friends. And then that kind of morphed into like actually games. We found some guys that were making some stuff. And
we even sold some of those projects, medical education projects.
That's a collector's edition. If you get those on eBay.
We sold Gastroenterology Patient Simulator.
Very
we sold
gripping title. I actually
got it. That's actually the name of it, too, by the way.
Gastroenterology Patient Simulator. I got a B-plus from Computer Gaming World.
We did Acid-Based Physiology Simulator. That was a really gripping one.
That was like the origin. That was like part one.
Yeah, and that was actually before BioWare. That was in 1990-91.
I want to read the prequel novel for that.
Yeah, that was pretty dry.
That was old school. And then you know we started actually literally in my basement where we had some guys in the small town working on some of the technology stuff, and we were literally learning 3D art and making doing some coding and doing all these things and. Hey, how does this work? And it was really those are the days when you can kind of get into it and just kind of figure it out. And that first game turned into Shattered Steel. I mean, remember from years and years ago, and that was our first release game. That was 96, and it's actually amazing when you think that I had like 16 player co-op multiplayer, like both co-op and also head-to-head in back in those days. And I think from there, while that was on, we started doing Baldur's Gate, and the team literally started in my basement. Eventually Ray hit his head on the ceiling too many times that he had to his brain cells were starting to get he's starting to lose a couple, so we said we got to get to an office, which was actually a fairly notorious fire trap.
It was kind of a limited potential office. It was kind of small.
too many computers plugged into
four circuit breakers for like 20 computers, I think, at the peak before we had to move, and we kind of filled it up. And yeah, it was kind of an interesting place, but we did some magical stuff there, like Baldur's Gate. The ideation for that was kind of started as a game. The original idea was called Battleground Infinity, and it was going to be, when you look back now at it, it was actually an MMO.
But we didn't know that at the time.
Pantheon of the gods, every pantheon of every god, of every group of gods from every religion ever was basically going to be represented, and you got to travel, a vast universe, and it was way out of control. But
lots of multiplayer. And
it was before even, I think, they were technically MMOs. They were MUDs at that point.
Yeah, MUDs.
It was definitely an MMO in its scope and potential, but we had to rein it in a bit. The good news, we did, and we talked to Interplay. We pitched it to a few publishers, and basically the idea of Baldur's Gate came when they said, the D&D license is available. Would you be interested in that?
And of course, that game was fairly successful. I mean, what was interesting about it is no one really knew how successful Baldur's Gate would be. It was one of those games that it was released, now is an insane date to release a game. It was like 21st of December, 1998. And really, for folks in the audience, I mean, you never ever release a game in December. It's impossible. You can't get it on the shelves. You'll never
sell. Dead zone. Yeah. Everything comes out. Everyone's on vacation.
I think
customer support was shut down at Interplay at that time. So I was doing CS, actually, with the fans over the Christmas break.
Usenet.
Get this before it was crazy. Video card, and it's like, do this, and I was like doing support calls and emails.
those are good times.
Just basically get the word out, and show people that we're passionate about our products, we want to support them, and it did okay, that game, so it turned into a big thing, and we had a big passion for RPGs, so it was the start of what BioWare is today.
Well, the Baldur's Gate series is probably, it's funny too, because our actual numbers are years old, because we don't know, in terms of like how much it sold since, but as of like 5-8 years ago, the collective series had sold 5 or 6 million copies, and that was like just back then. And it's probably, and you can still buy the thing. It's amazing, and it's still played. And it's amazing that game also it's still in some ways even haunts us to this very day, because when folks write reviews, they always reference Baldur's Gate, and we're like, Baldur's Gate 2,
and set the record straight.
It's like, okay, there. Now you can compare it.
A step beyond. So yeah. this is damn good. And Dragon Age is really a great game. It's fun. That's really fun.
Since you talk about your passion for RPGs, we actually had a reader submit a question asking if you guys would ever, especially now that you're expanding under EA, if you'd start to dabble in other genres. I mean, obviously that's your kind of bread and butter, but how...
For us, it's a very broad category, so I would say, in a way we already are. You look at what we're doing with Mass Effect, and Mass Effect 2 particularly, we're really making it a shooter RPG, and we're really enhancing the personal intensity, the action, and the experience of the shooter aspects, but also amping up the RPG elements too, and a whole bunch of other cool things too. And Dragon Age is probably the most classic RPG that we have in our portfolio. But, you know, we're doing an MMO, you know, with the Old Republic. We're doing some other things as well we haven't announced. But the net of it is that there's so many different things you get to do in an RPG. The action and the gameplay, just they're really married and interweave with the storyline and the narrative flow that, for us, it's such a broad category. It's almost like what aspirational fantasy you're trying to convey. And, you know, a role-playing game is really just enabling that and allowing you to become that.
Well, I think we're definitely in this room, and I think I speak for a large part of our audience, looking forward to what the future holds for BioWare. Doctors, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure.